real pine Christmas trees, spiced apple cider, cinnamon candles, a wood-burning fire in the fireplace, peppermint candy canes, Starbucks holiday blend. Boy, these things smell great. And although the Christmas holiday is almost over, it's almost past, because Epiphany is actually tomorrow, it still smells a lot like Christmas. I've heard that the sense of smell is the strongest sense connected to our memories. Maybe that's why the aroma industry is so huge. Candles, plug-ins, deodorizers, perfumes, deodorants that smell good, air fresheners for your car, aroma therapy. There are enough fragrances to keep us happy no matter what time of the year it is, no matter where we are, no matter what our favorite scent might be. It's easy to associate certain odors with different experiences. There are certain smells that will take me right back to my grandparents' house of almost 50 years ago. I think this is true with Christmas. The smell of real pine trees, holiday baking, and the like. But have you ever thought of the smells of Epiphany? Today I want to consider the significant event of the wise men's visit and the scents that connect us to their visit when they saw the baby Jesus. Most likely Jesus was probably about 2 years old by this time. So the manger in that traditional setting of the Christmas story are actually in the past. Now, we don't actually know a lot about the wise men. We don't know how many there actually were. We say three wise men, right? But that's because of the three gifts that they bring. But we really don't know how many there were. We also don't know the names of the Magi. Though Christian tradition calls them Melchior, Gaspar, and Belshazzar. We aren't exactly sure what nation they came from, though the three names seem to represent the areas of Asia, Europe, and Africa. The Bible just says they came from the east. That makes us think that it was probably somewhere around the area of the Persian Gulf. But we really don't know. Now, they seem to have been scientists or astrologers, the scholars of their day. They slip into the Christmas narrative, offer their gifts to the Christ child, and then they silently slip away. Let's read their story from Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by a different way. This morning, I want to focus specifically on the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus and the smells associated with each gift. The first gift is the gift of gold. I've actually heard that it has no smell. So during my own research, I found out that pure gold actually does not have an odor to it. If your gold does smell, it means that there are impurities in it, like alloys of copper or nickel. These trace elements react with the environment and produce a sort of metallic scent. Now, gold was a gift normally presented to a king. It was the most precious metal of the day, and it symbolized royalty, purity. The wise men recognized that this baby in the manger was no ordinary baby. This was a king. The Magi, by giving the gift of gold, recognized Jesus' divinity, his holiness, his purity. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Perhaps they had read Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, which speaks of this Messiah to come. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the world to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and a moat, but in a troubled time. Notice that Daniel calls him an anointed one, a prince. The word prince really means king, ruler, sovereign. When they brought gold as a gift to the baby Jesus, they recognized his kingly reign. The wise men didn't cuddle him or play games with him. Instead, they fell on their knees in worship and reverence to him. They recognized that he indeed is a king. That's what Christmas is all about. We have a Savior who came to be our King. And on Judgment Day, his kingship will reveal itself to all, every man, woman, and child, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, when at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Magi also brought frankincense as a gift for the Christ child. Frankincense was a gift fit for a priest. It has this warm, woody fragrance with hints of pine and hints of lemon. The priest would go into the temple with this incense where it was burned in religious ceremonies and sacrifices. The smell reminds us that Jesus is not only our King, but he is also our great high priest. He represents us and intercedes for us in the heavenly places. And Jesus, having lived here on earth, is just like us, knows what we go through. The author of Hebrew writes, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Hebrews 4:15. Jesus understands. He's been one of us. It is of the greatest comfort to us to know that we have somebody in heaven who understands us, who cares for us. Jesus, the great high priest, is here for us today, tomorrow, for eternity. Now, the third gift that the wise men bring was this valuable gum-like substance called myrrh. It has a slightly woody, smoky smell, but it's balanced by sweet undertones of cinnamon. It was often used to embalm the dead. Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd? Isn't that a strange gift to bring a baby? Wouldn't it be awkward for us if we were having a baby shower for a little one and someone brought a baby a funeral wreath as a present? But when Jesus was born, the wise men brought him myrrh. They sensed death in the birth of the Christ child. They knew that his death was the purpose, was the reason, was the meaning of his coming. They recognized that this little one was born to die. And from his birth, Jesus' mission was very clear. He was to give his life as a ransom for the many. The gift of myrrh underscores the cost of our salvation and the depth of God's love for us. At the heart of Lutheran theology is the cross of Christ. Myrrh reminds us that the sacrifice he made on the cross fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Through Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, we are all reconciled to God. But there's also a prediction in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6, that talks about the future or second coming of Jesus Christ. It reads, "A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and they shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord." This passage says that they'll bring gold and frankincense. But it's interesting to note that there's no mention of myrrh. You have to wonder why. Isaiah's prophecy points to the future glory of Jerusalem, a glory fulfilled after the death, resurrection, and ascension and return of our Lord Jesus. While the two narratives complement each other, Isaiah's prophecy points to a future glory. The passage from Matthew with the wise men emphasized another aspect of what Christmas is all about, the first coming of the Christ child to die for our sins. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ paid for our disobedience. He has given us the greatest gift of all. The Magi's gifts were more than just offerings. They were declarations of their faith. Pure gold, which has no smell, honored Christ's kingship, purity, holiness. Frankincense, with its woody scent of pine and lemon, was used in religious ceremonies and sacrifices. It acknowledges Christ's priesthood. And the smoky, cinnamon-like sweetness of myrrh anticipated Jesus' death and his sacrifice. These are the smells of Epiphany. What aromatic gift will you offer Jesus in 2025? Will you give him the metallic scent of your wealth? All that we have belongs to him. Will you give him the woody fragrance of your worship? Let us all fall down on our face and praise his holy name. Will you give Jesus the smoky, cinnamon-like sweetness of your witness? Let us all tell the world that he was born to die for all. These are the sweet fragrances of Epiphany. May the smell of our gifts of wealth, our worship, our witness rise up like incense to our Lord. And let us, like the wise men, offer him the best of ourselves, not out of obligation, but out of love, out of gratitude for all the Christ child has done for us. Amen.